reasons that we are really interested in forests, and, you know, forested peatlands as well, because they're so good at this process of storing and sequestering carbon, which is, you know, so important for mitigating a changing climate.
So we talk up at Spruce, we talk about soil carbon. Is this essentially soil carbon, a tree or sphagnum moss or whatever? Is that essentially soil carbon, or is soil carbon something different than the carbon sequestered in a tree or in sphagnum?
Yeah. So when we think about carbon sequestration and storage, scientists often talk about carbon pools, which is just another way of saying, you know, components of an ecosystem where the carbon resides. And so soil carbon is one of those pools. We oftentimes, scientists will kind of divide up those carbon pools into five major pools. So soils being one of them, the above ground parts of trees being another one, the below ground parts of plants, the roots, another one. And then all of the kind of the dead wood that we see in forests, you know, the logs on the ground, the standing dead trees that are kind of scattered around the forest. So they're all really important, and they all have kind of different rates of how they change over time. So soils store an immense amount of carbon, particularly when you think about those peatland soils up at the Spruce site. I mean, just incredible amounts of carbon stored there. But the change is really slow, especially change in the positive direction can be really slow. Now, of course, what we want to avoid is change in the negative direction, which can happen, you know, quickly under the wrong circumstances, particularly with climate change. So we want to avoid that. But the above ground parts of plants, the trees, the tree trunks, that's a carbon pool that, you know, relatively speaking, can change pretty quickly. Forests grow pretty quickly, and we can see positive gains in forest carbon in tree trunks and branches, relatively quickly in the years with, you know, as long as our forests are healthy, we're maintaining, you know, healthy forest conditions.
You know, carbon dioxide levels in the atmosphere are rising. Does that promote more growth? Are the plants, you know, all of a sudden, if you think of carbon as a food for plants, carbon dioxide, is it suddenly, if you have a greater amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, is it reflected in increased growth in vegetation?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the idea behind what some people call carbon fertilization, you know, this idea that CO2 is the building blocks of that, the sugars that the plant make that it needs to grow. And so when you think about more CO2 being in the air, it makes sense that there's going to be an enhanced ability of the plant to grow. But, you know, there's a limit to that enhancement, and that's because carbon dioxide isn't the only thing plants need to grow, right? They need water, they need nitrogen, they need other micronutrients from the soil. And so, you know, there's only so much that we probably might expect to see in terms of enhancements of plant growth. And, you know, I think that's some of the cool stuff that you all are doing at the Spruce site, is really getting an opportunity to measure that and see how that growth enhancement takes place, but then also understanding, you know, what are the limitations to that, and what are the other things that are going to impact, you know, whether or not a forest actually sequesters additional carbon. Because just because a tree grows faster doesn't mean that the forest is actually going to be holding more carbon if the forest is also losing more carbon at the same time. So, you know, you kind of have to think about an ecosystem and its carbon storage sort of like a bank account. You know, you may have a lot of money coming into your bank account, but if you have a lot of money going out at the same time, your account's not going to grow. And so, you know, it's really about sort of the balance of inputs and outputs to the system.
We're speaking with Todd Antl from the Northern Institute of Applied Climate Science. Todd, to that point, what is the outflow? So back to your analogy about banking, income. Where's the outgoing? What's the expense side of the equation? Where's that coming from?
Yeah, well, there's a whole bunch of different processes that result in carbon leaving an ecosystem. You know, I think the one that folks probably understand the best and makes the most sense to us, that, you know, if you're a gardener or you have a compost pile, is decomposition. So, you know, leaves fall off the trees. We're seeing that a lot of that right now. The leaves fall into the ground, and a lot of those leaves by next summer are going to have disappeared, and that's because that's pretty yummy stuff for the microbes, and they eat those leaves up, and that carbon returns back into the atmosphere for the most part. A little bit of it might go into the soil, but the vast majority of it goes into the atmosphere. So decomposition, plants themselves, like we breathe out CO2 from our lungs. You know, I mentioned plants need to use some of the sugars that they make for maintaining their metabolism. And so I think this is another thing people don't really think about, but plants not only produce oxygen from photosynthesis, but they also produce CO2 from respiration, just like we do, from their cells using up the sugars. So, you know, those are kind of two of the major sort of typical losses of carbon from a forest. But then there's a whole bunch of other stuff too. There's, you know, things like forest fire. You can have an immense loss of carbon from forest fire. Carbon can be dissolved in the soil, and then as water flows out of the ecosystem, it can carry some of that dissolved carbon with it. And that's why some of our rivers, you know, up in northern Minnesota have that dark color. Those are carbon compounds that are flowing out of our forests and into Lake Superior.
Todd, I wonder if you can help us kind of understand how much carbon does a typical forest, maybe an acre, absorb in a year?
Yeah, well, it's like everything in ecology, it's complex. You know, there's a lot of different things that determine what that number might look like. Things like the type of the forest, whether it's a hardwood forest or a conifer forest. Certainly the age of the forest is really important too. The kind of the site that it's on, whether it's on a rich bottomland soils or in wetlands, or if it's on a dry sandy site. These are all things that impact that number. But you know, if we kind of take all that together and we sort of average across all those different factors, a typical acre of forest in Minnesota is probably going to hold about 75 tons of carbon across all of its different carbon pools. So about 150,000 pounds of carbon per acre. And that includes, you know, everything, live trees, the logs, the soil, everything. Now, on average, the sequestration rate, how much it absorbs on an annual basis, is somewhere around 0.3, 0.4 tons per acre per year. And so, you know, this is a little over maybe 750 pounds of carbon per acre of forest in a year.
Can you kind of explain what relate that number to other emissions we might be used to?
Yeah, 750 pounds, you know, doesn't sound like a whole lot, but, you know, it means that for every acre of forest in the state, trees are offsetting the emissions from about 3,200 miles driven by an average passenger car. So when you consider that Minnesota has over 17 million acres of forest, that means that on average, Minnesota's forests are sequestering about the same amount of carbon as what's emitted from driving over 57 billion miles in a passenger vehicle, which, based on my rough estimate, is about the same amount of emissions that come from every car registered in Minnesota driving about 8,000 miles in a year. So it's a really significant amount of carbon that Minnesota's forests are sequestering every year.
That's astonishing. Those numbers are astonishing. I had no idea. I'm curious because I heat my home with firewood, and I'm sort of taking the culling from my forest. I have 40 acres of land, and I go in there and I take out the ones that blow down or the ones that are dying on site. And what am I doing there? Am I creating more carbon dioxide? Or by taking out some of these trees, am I allowing more trees to grow, or the trees that remain to grow bigger? Is there some kind of a balance there, or am I part of the problem? Part of the problem. I know.
I wouldn't say you're part of the problem at all. You know, I think there's a lot of complexity to thinking about it, and it kind of depends upon the scale you want to think about. You know, you can think about just the forest, but really this conversation that we're having it because, you know, we recognize the importance of forests for mitigating rising atmospheric CO2 levels, right? Forests can offset all the emissions from burning fossil fuels. So the first thing that you're doing by burning wood from your forest is you're not burning fossil fuels to heat your home. So that's really important. And you're doing it from a really local source, right? Your property right there.
Right.
So there's not a lot of transportation costs associated with that. So that's really important. But John, you did make a really good point in asking your question about, you know, what are the impacts on your forests? And by removing the trees that have died, maybe fallen to the ground or were standing, you know, you are creating some opportunities for new trees to grow. Those new trees growing are going to sequester additional carbon. So that's important. By doing, you know, thoughtful management of a forest, we can improve the health of the forest. We can improve the ability of the forest to sequester carbon into the future to ensure that they are robust and resilient carbon sinks into the future. And, you know, the key word there is thoughtful. And I think that's really why it's important to understand kind of the implications of what you're doing in the woods. But, you know, I think you've probably covered this in some of the other episodes. It's also an opportunity to improve the forest as a place for animals to live, for birds to live. And so, you know, I think in general, there's multiple benefits you can look at. You're not burning natural gas, or you're not burning heating oil, or whatever the source might be. And you can also be, you know, providing a better habitat for animals, for wildlife. You can also be improving kind of the conditions in the forest. So I think it's a good thing.
Does a young forest, for example, a county comes in and they clear cut, or the forestry state, whoever, comes in and they clear cut a 40, does a young forest then sequester more carbon than, say, the old forest that was standing there?
Yeah, we generally think about young forests as being really good at growing quickly and sequestering carbon quickly. So if you remember, I said that kind of on average, the average forest in Minnesota will grow or sequester about 0.3 or 0.4 tons of carbon per acre per year. A young forest, anywhere from 20 to 40 years, that sequestration rate could be double, could be even higher than that. They're really good at growing fast. Now, young trees don't have a lot of biomass in them. They don't have a lot of, there hasn't been a lot of time for that biomass to build up, so they're not as good at storing the carbon, but that's really where an old forest excels. You know, old forest has all those big trees and all the logs on the ground. I mean, it has carbon packed in from the top of the canopy down to the soil, and so old forests are really good at storing carbon. They have really high carbon storage rates, but oftentimes they're not so good at sequestering carbon. So an old forest might be somewhere on the order of 0.1 tons of carbon per acre per year. So you kind of get this trade-off, right? Young forests are good at sequestering, but not so good at storing, whereas old forests are the opposite.
And I want to give Mark a chance. He is our producer for this program, these segments, Mark Jacobs. I want to give you a chance to kind of end us. We're out of time. We have a lot more to talk about, but...
Well, next episode, we're going to be talking with Stephen Handler about how forests can be under risk from climate change and what are some of the changes that could potentially happen. And Todd, I want to thank you for joining us. It's been very interesting and tons more questions, but not enough time. So thanks.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
All right. Yeah, thank you, Todd. Todd Ontel is a scientist with the Northern Institute of Applied Climate Science, and he and Mark Jacobs joined us this morning to talk about carbon sequestration in our forests.
And Mark, remind us of this event coming up at the Long Lake Conservation Center.
Yeah, on November 13th, starting at 4 p.m., there's a phenology fish fry at Long Lake Conservation Center near Palisade, Minnesota, in Aiken County. And the proceeds go to scholarships for students to attend Long Lake Conservation Center for Environmental Learning. And they have this high-powered phenologist there to do a field tour on the bog walk, Mr. John Latimer. And they'll have a walleye and wild rice dinner, courtesy of the Red Lake Band of Ojibwe, and a donation from Enbridge. So should be a good day.